From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he concludes a message called The Towering Greatness and Tender Humility of Christ. Facing the ordeal of his trial with its humiliation and pain, and then the agony of the cross, the Lord Jesus, fully aware of every detail that lay before him, yet demonstrated the role of God's humble servant as he washed the feet of his disciples. Although it should have been they who were washing his feet, the Savior overlooked their thoughtlessness, and he loved them. As gently he told them that this was an example of how they were to treat others, he also declared that only those whom he washed were really his people. May the Lord impress his word upon our hearts. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, Sue Al Gore for Global Warming Fraud.
John Coleman, who founded the Weather Channel in 1982, wants to sue Al Gore for fraud. He would like to include other global warming proponents as well as companies that sell carbon credits. Coleman would like a court to decide on the evidence if Al Gore and his collaborators are guilty of financial fraud. Since we can't get a debate, I thought perhaps we had a legal challenge and went into a court of law where it was our scientists and their scientists and all the legal proceedings with the discovery and all their documents from both sides and scientific testimony from both sides, we could finally get a good solid debate on the issue, Coleman said. I'm confident that the advocates of no significant effect from carbon dioxide would win the case. I wish Mr. Coleman the best of success in his attempt, but I doubt he will succeed. Global warming proponents are too careful to allow the evidence to be sifted and weighed in anything like an impartial court. They operate best under the protection of a closed environment with manipulated data and with access to a largely uninquisitive press. What John Coleman wants to see would scare the life out of Al Gore and company. But the idea has a lot to commend it. I think it would be excellent to provoke a real public debate of the issues and stop falling for the scare tactics of the global warmers. A long time ago, I warned that global warming is not the real issue with most of these people. They are proponents of big government and left-wing policies. What they fail to do as redder than red socialists, they think they can do as greener than green environmentalists. They have managed to hijack most of the press and the educational system. They have most political party bosses firmly in tow. After all, most politicians live by increasing big government. It's time to call their bluff. There's plenty of evidence that the truth is that we're probably in greater danger of a serious cooling of the Earth's climate than of its warming. So, go to it, John Coleman. While all this is going on, the Southern Baptist Convention seems to have joined the pro-global warming crowd. At the same time, a group of conservatives, including Richard Land, a leading Southern Baptist, have warned the Congress against the global warming scam. They warn that the Lieberman-Warner approach will do nothing for the climate and will greatly harm America's economy and people, especially the poor. All it will do is hamstring American business, drive up the cost of essential supplies, especially food, and will be devastating to the poor. This view is sane. I'm grieved to see Southern Baptist leaders lend their weight to a left-wing scam for that's all the global warming scare really is, they would be better to support John Coleman's call. Let's get all the evidence out in the open. Let's have full discovery and a transparently open investigation of the issues without the influence of vested political interests. The idea is so sane that you wonder why anyone would oppose it, unless he had an ulterior motive in pushing the global warming theory. If the only way to have the debate is to put Al Gore in the dock, I say get the cuffs on him and let's get started.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, that's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
These are mine, and I love them. And as He loved them, He showed this love and this selfless service. And in showing that selfless service, He showed His disciples the beauty of true humility. And by the way, it's interesting, in verse 6 and verse 8, He exposed false humility. Peter says to Him, "Do you wash my feet?" Now, this is the very same Peter who had not offered to wash anybody else's feet. This is the very same Peter who was willing to sit by, or lie by, as the case may be, and watch the Lord Jesus wash the feet. He hadn't enough humility to say, "Lord, let me do the washing." But when Jesus comes to him, he says, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" That sounds very humble, and I have no doubt that Peter was sincere in saying it. But it's not really humble. Remember, a moment ago he had been striving with the rest. And humility goes a whole lot beyond pious sounding words. It's measured in selfless service. You can talk about being humble all the day long, but until you get to the place where you count yourself to be nothing, and in honor prefer one another, and don't count yourself above the place of the servant or the slave, till you get there, you don't know anything about humility. So the Lord Jesus began to wash the feet. But I want you to notice something. He also finished it. That's always true of the Savior. What He begins to do, He finishes. For He also took the towel and dried them. There's a beautiful contrast between John 12 and John 13. John 12 starts with the anointing of Jesus' feet. John 13 starts with the washing of the disciples' feet. The feet of Christ were anointed. The feet of the sinless one. The feet of the victorious Savior. The feet of the disciples are washed. Because while He goes to glory, as He says to the Father, "Father, they are in the world, but I'm coming to Thee." While He goes to glory, they're still in the world. They're going to need the preparation of clean feet, of refreshed feet, as it were, for fellowship and for the upcoming journey. This is what he did. And quickly what he said. Verse 6, if you're not washed, you've no part with me. I want you to understand this, friend. And let it be true today. This was said to Peter, one of the 12. Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. If I don't wash you. And he's talking here of the washing of sanctification. If this sanctifying grace is not administered in your life, if you do not live, as it were, having your feet washed with the water of the Word of God by the Christ of God, then you have no part with Him. You may say, Lord, I decided for Christ. You have no part with Him if you're not washed by Christ. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. If you're still like the sow returning to its vomit and to the dog, or to its wallowing in the mire and the dog to its vomit. In other words, if you've only had some outward religious experience or outward religious profession, but there's been no change of heart and there's no washing of your soul, men and women, Jesus says, you've no part with me. You don't get to be a part with Christ by joining a church. You're not part of Christ because you become a Free Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Methodist or anything else. You're not part of Christ simply because you can date the day that you walked the aisle. He says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. The only people who are part or have part with Christ are a clean people, cleansed by the blood in justification, washed with the water of the Word in sanctification. They're the people who have part with Christ and none else. Remember what Paul said to the Hebrews? He spoke of holiness. Holiness. This is not imputed righteousness. This is holiness of life, cleanness of life and heart. He said, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. What does he mean? He means any man who has had the righteousness of Christ imputed in justification will have genuine holiness of life. Not sinless, but still holy. If you have no holiness, you have no holiness, you have no Christ. But notice this, holy people still need their feet washed. In other words, their walk still gets stained with the dust of the world and the uncleanness of the world. So Jesus says, you need your feet washed. But verse 10, he says, despite needing your feet washed, you are clean. You see, I've talked about the necessity of holiness, but this is not a guilt trip. Understand this. Though you're not sinless if you're saved, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're clean. If you're regenerated and justified, you're clean. Once and for all, right with God. Peter wanted to have a bath, as it were. Jesus said, you don't need to be bathed. You don't need any more than to have your feet washed. In other words, when you get saved, you don't need to get saved all over again next week, or the next week, or next year. You get saved. And if you're genuinely saved, you're saved. When the blood cleanses, it cleanses once and for all. You'll need your walk cleansed and your walk adjusted. But he said, despite that, you're clean. But then he says, verse 10, you're not all clean. There's some of you here, and he says, you're not clean. Now watch this carefully. You sit among those who are having their feet washed, and I come washing your feet, but you're still not clean.
understand this. With a heart like the heart of Judas, a heart that's still ungodly, unregenerate, you can sit among God's people. You can have the washing effect of the Word of God. And this happens again and again and again, where people's lives are cleaned up just because they are exposed to Scripture. The book of Hebrews talks about this quite extensively, where their lives are cleaned up. Things are different. Do not ever mistake renovation of life as real redemption for the soul. You see, you can join the church and stop smoking, stop drinking, stop cursing, stop this, stop that, stop the other. Your life can get a whole lot better off just because you're under the sound of the Word, and because the Word is showing you what people ought not to do and what people ought to do. You can be a whole lot better off. But that's not what saves a man. You need Christ. You're saved by faith in Christ, and not by adjusting your life to try and make it conformable to the law of God. When He saves you, He'll conform you to His law. But you are not saved by trying to conform your life to God's law or even to God's Word. You're saved by faith in Jesus. And then the last thing Jesus tells us, and I have only time to say it, verse 11 to 17, in a nutshell, He's saying, I'm your Lord, I'm your Master. How are you to live in this world? You imitate me. And you have the golden rule. The golden rule is usually given in the words of Matthew 7. But I think for a Christian, you have this wonderful statement. What you're supposed to do, verse 15. I've given you an example. What is that example? Why is it given? That you should do as I have done to you. This is what Christ is saying. What way did I want you to live? How do I want you to live in the world? What should you do? What is your duty as a Christian? Now, you could answer that in a million ways. But here's the simplest. You go out and do as I have done to you. You start treating other people the way I treat you. You know that will revolutionize the church. That would change this church overnight. That would revolutionize our homes. I want to tell you, husbands, you start treating your wives as Christ has treated you. You wives, start treating your husbands as Christ has treated you. You parents, start treating your children as Christ has treated you. And children, start treating your parents as Christ has treated you. And I tell you, we will immediately go to the heart of the problems that are afflicting church and home. This is it. Now notice this. You say, you call me Master and Lord. But words are easy and talk is cheap. You say, I'm your Master and your Lord. You come to church and you sing about me being your Master and your Lord. You bow the knee and you say prayers about me being your Master and your Lord. But listen, there's a whole lot more to Christian living than opening your mouth and saying the first thing that comes out of it. However pious it sounds, He says, you say these things, but if I am your Master and your Lord, then you do as I do. And especially you do to others as I have done to you. Here is Christ approaching the cross, taking time for things you would think would be beneath his dignity and beneath his interest at that time when he was dealing with such great things. And yet he takes time to wash the feet of the disciples and teach them from it. We want to live like Christ. Not saved by doing it, but if we are saved, we're going to do it. And we're doing it in the light of this, that the hour is coming The hour is coming. It's going to reveal all. And I trust in that day that you're going to be able to say, Lord, like Moses, I made the right choice. I served the right master. And I'm ready to die. Is that true of you now? I want you to get your eyes on Christ. See Him. And seeing Him. Feeling His love, His grace, His might, His power in you. Calling Him Master and Lord. Go and do as He has done unto you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.